Hey Potters, welcome to episode 287 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay After Dark Edition.
Cosplay and spoops. Aha!
Yes, there will be many spoops in this episode.
Spoopy stuff because it's spoopy time for Halloween. It's our last episode of the season before we take our break, which means Halloween time. My favorite time of year. Ah.
For those who are just joining us for the first time, welcome. You chose an interesting episode to join us on for the first time.
Good times.
This is our After Dark episode. This is our less censored episode, by which we mean we'll just like slightly less censor ourselves. So please be forewarned. We may talk about adult topics. We may use curse words. We may speak slightly impolitely. Probably don't want to listen to this on open speakers in front of young children, at your job, any place where you wouldn't want the entire world to hear what you're listening to.
Because we're going to say fudge.
Fudge is delicious.
Fudge is delicious. I wish I could have
especially
it.
Especially chocolate chip fudge as well as cookies and cream.
Well, since it is the Halloween episode, we are, of course, dressed up for it. I am channeling Lydia Deetz from Beetlejuice. Because Winona Ryder, always. Goth princess, must love her. And now that you know, I'm putting these back on. Psh, I can see again. Hooray!
And I am random elf friend. Because I can't wear elf ears while I'm wearing broadcasting headset. But it's in the same style.
Yeah, it's in the same vein.
Yes, you can clearly see all of my love for all things puffy paint embroidery all over this costume. It's also on the hood. See, it's all over. Yes. And it's on the bustier, but you can't really see the bustier I'm wearing.
Right, yeah. It's everywhere. Just
yes.
Yeah. I can confirm it's everywhere.
Yeah. This is actually the outfit I made for Spring Ren Fair, so more or less Scarborough, where it's still just cool enough in the morning to necessitate something not quite as light, so this is made out of completely fully lined velour. But it's also sleeveless. I'm actually just wearing a black shell under it, and it has a knee-length skirt. So that it's also not too warm. Which you would never know because it's 90 freaking degrees in Texas today. I am so tired of summer. I don't know about you all who also live in Texas or other parts of the world that are also roasty and toasty right now. Yeah. It's like, none of my costumes are really made for this sort of weather. The only one that is, I'm working on at the moment.
Of course.
Yes.
It's fine. It's fine.
Which, this is my cosplay progress. Isn't it cute?
It's a pile of fabric.
It's a mini pile of fabric.
But it counts.
It is a pile of satin squares that are exactly 1.5 inches across. Because I went through and started cutting the squares that I'm going to need to make kanzashi.
Ah.
And 1 inch was too small. Mm. 1.25 inches, also too small.
Oh.
So 1.5 is what I have settled on that will make appropriately sized petals. Which the original tutorial that I used when I made kanzashi for Rava does not exist anymore on the internet.
Oh, oops.
So I had to find a new way of folding the petals, which is why I had to go up to an inch and a half.
Mm.
The old version would have used smaller squares and it would have worked just fine.
Oh, okay.
The new way I have to fold them, I need bigger squares to start with because it will basically, in the turning of the fabric, it will absorb a lot of the existing fabric and it'll turn out much smaller.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Apologies, I don't have more progress than this. One, it takes me forever to cut these because satin is very slippery. So tracing an exact square, which it has to be an exact square for it to fold correctly, takes a long time. And also, I ended up getting my COVID and flu vaccines very recently. And so I spent a good portion of time just sleeping. And it was not the good, restful kind of sleeping that you would want when you're trying to, you know, just relax and sleep. No, it was very painful and not pleasant at all.
It's the sleeping because vaccines.
But thankfully that is past. I am pretty much over it now. Just getting over the personal battery discharging much faster than normal.
Right.
I haven't gotten my energy reserves back yet, but
Yeah.
that's slowly coming.
It'll get there,
Oh.
not to worry.
Yeah. So I'm starting to work back on cosplay now because I know that the kanzashi is going to take forever since I'm going to have to wait for glue to dry constantly.
Constantly.
Yes. But it will be done. So that is my update.
I has no updates other than to remind everybody it's our last episode of the season, so we'll see you next year. Bye.
That's not an actual bye. Don't leave. Don't worry. Don't turn off the podcast.
See you in 2 months. Wee!
That was the shortest episode in the history of the show. 7 whole minutes.
Yeah,
No.
buddy! We're on top of
No.
it.
We will be coming back, like Val said, in about 2 months. This is
Yeah.
just our annual personal hiatus to recharge ourselves, to take care of life, to spend the holidays with family and friends and that sort of thing, to have some dedicated time to hopefully work on cosplays because my goal is to have Athena finished by the time we come back in January so that I can just show you all the pieces instead of constantly having to show you piles of fabric because that gets old.
I hope my book is done by then, because I just have one thing left to do, and I'm just having the hardest struggle bus time getting it done. But life has also been very bad lately, so there you go.
Yeah, this is partially why we need that downtime to just recharge.
Yeah.
But we will be back in January 2024.
Hooray. Season 13? Yeah, season 13. Oh.
Ooh, spoopy.
Spoopy, how appropriate. Wait, is there a Friday the 13th in January? Please tell me there's a Friday the 13th in January. N there is not on
Not in
Saturday.
January.
Poop. Could we? Oh no, we can't. Oh no. Oh no. I'm seeing how far in we go. Oh no.
September is your first Friday the 13th.
So maybe we start our first episode in 2024 in September? That's a long break.
Actually, that particular episode will just have to be an extra special one because it'll be our September the 13th or Friday the 13th episode for our 13th season.
We might hit episode 300 next year. I'm not quite sure. I have to sit and actually think about it.
Math is
Math.
fun.
No, I don't want to do any more math. We're not talking about math. Math is scary enough on its own.
But what's hilarious is that there's a Friday the 13th in December, so you can have a Nightmare
Ooh.
Before Christmas.
As if I don't do that with my tree already.
I figured you would appreciate that.
All right, so do we want to get into our spoopy stuff?
Let's get into spoopy stuff.
Let's get to spoopy stuff. So we're going to do a little hodgepodge and mishmash of a bunch of things. We're going to take some of your user suggestions and then an idea that we came up with as well that I know we've done before, but it's fun to always do it again. And we have some new stuff thrown in. So the first thing I'm going to do is my favorite scary movies because this was suggested by a couple of our viewers slash listeners. And Amber doesn't watch scary movies. So it's
I don't do
my
scary
scary movies.
movies. I have an overactive imagination. I can make up my own nightmares, thank you very much, without needing nightmare fuel on my television.
I like scary movies. I'm weird because I like both the original Universal Monster movies. I know that they're corny beyond all belief, but I love them. They're great. I think they're fantastic cinema. But then I also like the psychological thrillers. I don't have the in-between thing. I don't like gross out stuff. So like the Saw movies, don't like them. They're just dumb to me. Hate them. There's not really a whole lot of good scary movies these days because they go into that they're trying to be kitschy, but because you know that they're doing the cheesiness, it doesn't feel natural. You want it to just ooze the cheese on its own. They don't realize that they're being silly and stupid. It's kind of like the Friday the 13th movies, because those are super cheeseball. They're
Right.
so bad and cheesy, but that was not their intent. They were trying to make a good scary movie, and then that just kind of
Because
happened.
you have the movies that are genuinely scary, they're
Yes.
psychological thrillers,
Yes.
and they either do it by showing you directly or they do it by omission so that you create the story in your head.
Yes.
Then you go to the other end of the spectrum and then you just have the straight up gory, violent
Yeah, and
ones.
I'm like, no. Those are boring to me.
And then you have the other side of that, which is the kind that kind of caters towards kids, teens, and adults like me that don't like scary movies, and those are the kitschy, spoopy,
So you get
cheesy, like
Halloween
way over the
Town.
top ones.
Yeah. It's Halloween Town, Hocus Pocus, stuff like that. I have no problems with those. Those are fine. Those have their little thing. I love Hocus Pocus too. Actually, the second movie's kind of fun. I enjoyed my time watching that. It's just finding where your medium is. I know the gory stuff is popular and the Blumhouse stuff is popular. That's just not me. I like spoopy stuff. So this is the stuff I have on my list. And actually, these are movies that have been made within the last 15 or so years, surprisingly. None of them Amber will watch because they will probably give her nightmares because they are very nightmare-inducing. The first one I have on my list is The Conjuring. Next one is Insidious. Then I have The Witch. And then I have The Black Coat's Daughter, which is all very recent-ish stuff. And I like them because it's a lot of psychological horror, it's a lot of ghost stories, and it's a lot of hauntings. But the characters in the movies are not idiots. They're not the type of people who are running up the stairs to avoid the bad things and locking themselves inside the house. They
They're not
know they're
Scooby-Doo.
not Scooby-Doing it. They realize the bad stuff is happening in this place. We need to leave. And they have to work out ways to leave in order to escape the stuff.
Which Scooby-Doo falls in that spoopy category.
They find themselves living in your head rent-free. Yes. These are the kind of scary movies that I can watch again and again, and I feel the chills, but they don't really scare me, but they're like, ooh, this is intense. I like it. The only movie that I've seen once, and I don't have this on my list, but it's the scariest freaking thing I have ever seen in my life, The Exorcist. I've seen it once. I will never watch it again. It freaked me the F out as a kid. I'm like, nope, never again. Poltergeist, I've seen multiple times, and that can be a little spoopy, but not on the level of The Exorcist. The Exorcist is just full on creep. So there you go. Those are my movies. I hope you enjoy. Man, I don't want to watch the director's cut. Fudge that. No. No. And it takes a lot to scare me in a movie, but no. No, I have bad nightmares from that one. So good job, filmmakers.
The most I'll do is Hocus Pocus.
It's
And I think
cute.
it's because I set myself up for failure by reading things like Goosebumps as a kid.
Man, I
Or
love that stuff.
was it Nightmare on Jump Street series of books?
Maybe I don't remember that one. I did Goosebumps and then, oh God, Scary Stories. Something, something. Hold on. Google time. Hang on. I only
Because
remember the covers for those.
I know that there were two series of like scary books that I would always read as a kid, and then I got into Edgar Allan Poe when I got into high school, and that basically like completely nullified any appetite I would have had for scary, because
Right.
those are psychological thrillers, man.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That's
Poe was
exactly what I was
dark.
thinking. Those are, I loved the covers for those. They were just eerie, and I would love to get like actual artwork of those and frame them around my home. I think those would be great. We had some messed up stuff as kids.
Yes.
Full access to it too.
Yes. And it wasn't even the kind of books that they would have you read as part of the curriculum where they're like, okay,
Oh
now
no.
we're gonna do, 6 weeks on this book, and we're gonna read certain chapters each week, and you're gonna write up a short paragraph. No, it wasn't like that. It was
No.
that they had an entire bookshelf full of random books. And you could borrow one, and you
Yeah.
could take it home with you if you wanted, as long as you brought it back. And you could just read to your heart's content whatever you felt like. And they encouraged it.
Oh, those book fairs.
Oh, Scholastic book fairs.
Yeah, they're not the same
Oh, I love them.
anymore. I miss them though.
Oh, I love
What?
those.
I wish they had adult book fairs. Like,
Not in the sense of like adult books, people,
no,
as in
no.
like. Not books for kids, as in books that avid readers above the age of 18 would enjoy reading
Exactly.
in the standard section of a library.
Contemporary? No, not contemporary. I don't want that.
Yeah, like the nonfiction and standard fiction parts of the library.
Yeah, because those tend to be filled with a lot of the teens and preteen stuff, and that's...
Right, the YA, young adult.
I have no interest in that stuff. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Good gravy. Okay, so the next thing that we had on this list was memories of scary cosplays we have seen. This was also suggested. And I think we're going to keep this kind of a broad topic because we've seen so much stuff over the years at Ren Fairs and haunted houses and such.
Right. Because that's typically, I don't see scary costumes very many places at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Just period. Even discounting anime conventions, so even things like Fan Expo type places where it's like Comic-Con-esque, don't really see that many scary costumes. People just don't tend to wear those costumes very often. They're usually doing the whole hero and villain thing.
Yeah, and I have been to a horror convention before, but they've mostly, the people that were dressing up, they were the villains from the 80s movies, from the 80s slasher films. So you had Freddy, you had Jason, and it was like, okay, obviously this is pretty straightforward. None of them were really like scary.
Mm-hmm. The only ones that I have seen that were scary at a convention were from Elfin Lied.
Mm.
And trigger warning before anybody goes and watches that series, it is very violent.
Mm.
It is a psychological thriller series. It has a serious story to it, and it has a point. But it is violent and gory. And there's no censoring that you can do to it. So
you
just
have to have
keep
the gore.
That in mind. Well, I mean, if you were to censor the gore, there would be nothing on screen for large portions of some episodes. So just keep that in mind before you watch it. Same thing with Full Metal Alchemist. Great story. Has a point. Some parts of it get very violent. Just keep that in mind.
Yay, anime.
They're not for children. Elfin Lied, definitely not for children. I mean, yes, obviously there are some animes that are very popular that have gore. I get it.
Akira gets really, body horror.
Yeah, some of them carry it a little far.
Yeah.
And it's usually those kind of costumes that get scary. And it's not scary so much as like they're doing the whole butcher knife thing and trying to be scary, like Friday the 13th kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's more that it's just gory.
Yeah.
Because the series is, or the scene that they're portraying is.
Yeah, exactly.
And those just nightmare fuel. Nope. Even if they're well done. Nope. Isn't there some... I've never played the video game, but the ones that Pyramid Head is from.
Silent Hill.
That one also tends to be somewhat gory whenever I see costumes done from it.
Yeah, them and the bobblehead nurse, yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
Those are fun.
Yeah, those are the ones that I used to encounter a lot more often.
Yeah,
at early 2000s, like mid-2000s conventions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not done so much now. Now it's a lot more clean.
Air quote.
Clean as in not gory.
Yeah, anytime.
Or scary.
Yeah, it's like if I'm trying to think. Honestly, the only costumes that I've seen where I've been like, oh, that's really good and cool, it didn't really necessarily scare me.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that they did such a great job as the characters that they were kind of like, ooh, this is neat. Mm-hmm. 2019 AllCon, those two that entered as the sisters from The Shining.
Yes.
They did an amazing job. Oh my goodness.
They were creepy.
They were creepy. That was the great thing about them was when they talked, they always talked in sync, in unison. They walked in unison. So left, right, left, right. They were always holding hands. Whenever that one person did one thing, the other one replicated it. So they were constantly copying each other. Even though one of them was a little taller than the other because of the way that they handled the acting, that you ignored that. They were just very creepy in that manner. So it was great. I think, did they win Best in Show that year? I think they did.
I don't remember if it was best in show, but they did win an award.
They did. They won something. I just can't remember what, because that was many, many years ago.
I don't remember. It may have been best in category.
Could have been.
But either way, even when they were off stage, yeah, like after the competition, they were still in character,
they
which
were
made
in character.
It more TV.
It made it very easy to MC off of them. That's for sure.
Yeah. So even when you were trying to wrangle them backstage, they were in character, which creeped me out.
That was creepy, but it was great. It was piece de resistance. Good job. 10 out of 10, no notes. The only other thing that gets to me is when it's the Chucky cosplayers, when they do the makeup to a T, where it's just picture perfect. They look like a doll. Then I just have that moment of, whoa. But that's really cool. Just something about creepy dolls. They're creepy.
No, okay. Don't do dolls. Don't do clowns. Nope.
But those are fun.
I am the very opposite of a Halloween lover.
I'm the person who is like, yeah, I'll go to a haunted house, and people assume that because I'm the tiny little woman that I'm the easy one to scare. I'm like, no, I'm the person who's going there because I want ideas for decorating and to see all the scare actors' costumes and makeup so I can use it in the future. So if a scare actor comes up to me right here and they have really cool makeup on, I'm like, oh, that looks really neat.
I don't do haunted houses, not just because I don't like being scared, mostly because I am a person who has very high stress levels naturally, and I don't need more. But also because one of the last times I went into a haunted house, they had a turnstile on the floor, one of the circular discs that they spin.
Yes.
Just they'll jerk it just a little bit to try and just startle you.
Just
a little
startle
bit.
You.
When I was standing on it, they gave it a full hard spin and I twisted my ankle.
Mm.
And I actually hurt myself.
Ooh.
And I had trouble walking like through the rest of the haunted house. And ever since then, I'm just like, no.
Understandable.
I do not want to get hurt again. Because it was not pleasant. And like nobody asked if I was okay. Nobody tried to check on me.
Mm.
Like it was as if nothing had happened. And it's just like, no.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It really depends, because especially here in Texas, we have so many freaking haunted houses, but a lot of them, because unfortunately they're a dime a dozen, they don't have as much care or quality, but there's some really stellar ones that we have here where it's like they pay attention and they're thoughtful. So, I mean, you know, it's a hit or miss, unfortunately.
Yeah. Honestly, it depends on who's running it, because some are run by like colleges or college student like clubs. Some are run by commercial entities, so places that they do this. Dreams, where Scarborough is, they do it professionally every year, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different varieties of haunted houses. Some are smaller, some are huge and take like a half an hour to 45 minutes to walk through.
Oh yeah, I've been in through plenty of those.
Some of them are even set up like mazes where you go through multiple times because you double back on yourself.
Those are my favorite. The one that's over here in near us, they do those like throughout the year. That's the one of the reasons I love them, is that they do multiple things throughout the year. And it's just like, oh, different themes. Sometimes they're mazes. My favorite from them is actually when they did a black and white haunted house. So it was all of like the horror movies from the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and 50s. So they had stuff from Hitchcock. They had the Universal Monsters. But everything that they did, all of the sets were in black and white. There was no color anywhere. It's really neat. None of it was scary because obviously, like, you know, they're from the movies and they're from all of these classic films. But just stylized, it was just like, ooh, this is cool. I feel like I'm like in a retro setting here. Oh, I miss that. I wish they would redo that again. That would be so fun.
I actually really enjoy classic films, like classic Frankenstein, classic Dracula. Those were really good movies for the time.
Yeah. I still love those.
They're very classy.
Mm-hmm. That and Nosferatu. I love Nosferatu.
Yep.
I love the creepiness of all of that, especially since given the time that it was, it's like, dang, that's some amazing makeup and prosthetics.
It's like, I basically want to take today's modern special effects and marry it with the storytelling of the classic movies and put the two together. Because I don't like today's storytelling. It's not that the Amber doesn't like being scared thing. It's not what I'm getting at. It's more like kind of what's happened in the music industry, where songs used to be like 5 to 7 minutes long. They would tell a
They would tell a
story.
story.
It would be a song to communicate something with you. They wanted to leave you with like a point,
Sure.
or to leave you with an emotion. And now songs, if they're lucky, are 2 minutes long, just long enough for pop radio play to catch your attention, and then they go away, and it's just like you don't really remember anything from the song.
Get more ads
That I
in.
feel, yeah. So I feel like that's kind of what's happened with movies, is that they're built for shorter attention spans. There's less concentration on the point. It's less about telling a story. It's more about flash, 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 flash.
Oh, I mean, that's kind of how Netflix and Amazon's subscription system is working, is they bring people in with one or two seasons or something, drop it, knowing that you're probably going to keep your sub and forget about it. So you just keep silently paying for something that you're not using.
Yeah, but I would love to see horror and scary movies done like more like the classics,
That would be
just with
fun.
updated special effects.
Yeah. Not the dark universe thing that Universal was doing that was terrible. Please don't do that. The Tom Cruise Mummy movie was terrible. Do not do that. The only one that is appropriate is the Brendan Fraser one. Thank you very much. Righty. Next. Ooh, so we're up to cosplay. Would you rather? The spoopy edition. Hooray. Let me get my word pad open. Wait, are we agreeing on no Tom Cruise mummy or yes to Brendan Fraser mummy? Because both are accurate.
Why not both?
Why not both?
Also, going ape, I don't think I would like any place that smells like cough drops that isn't a doctor's office. I think that would weird me out just a little bit. Like, I can understand actors using them to soothe their throats,
To save their
especially if they,
voice.
yeah, if they talk a lot during the presentation, or if they have to make like animalistic noises that
Yeah.
can hurt your vocal cords. I get it. Just if it smelled like cough drops, it's one of those things like in the movies where it pulls you out of, or you suspend belief and it pulls you back into reality and you're kind of pulled out of the experience for a second. Cough drops would totally do that to me. It'd be like, why does it smell like eucalyptus in here?
For me, it would just be like, oh, they're gonna do a lot of screaming. That's the sign up. Get ready to have your ears saved. Okie dokie. So for the cosplay, would you rather? I have a mix of stuff. It's some Halloweeny things that are strictly Halloween only, and then the cosplay ones are kind of quote unquote spoopy. Some of them are silly. Unless it's a haunted hospital. Ah, valid one. I like that. Good point.
True. And that may actually be one of the more creepy places to be haunted,
Yes.
actually.
Actually, yes.
Hospitals have a lot of potential.
Chat, you're a very good chat. I'm glad that you all praise the Brendan Fraser mummy movie. That is the correct answer. Because there is no other answer. Okay. So, would you rather? And we're both going to answer this. Eat
Okay.
circus peanuts or candy corn?
Oh, circus peanuts, hands down.
Seriously? That
Yeah, they are awful. Candy corn is that much worse.
Really?
It's not even a food. I refuse to get near it. I don't even like the smell. If you
Circus
like,
peanuts are not even a food. They're just pure sugar crap.
they both are. If you give me a candy corn candle, if you put it in a room, I will leave the room. I don't like it that much.
Really?
I hate candy corn.
Wow.
If it disappeared from the face of the earth today, I would be okay with that. Frankly, I don't want to eat either one of them,
Well,
but
I know,
circus
but
peanuts
would you
are
rather?
ever so slightly the lesser evil.
Wow. I don't know of anybody who hates candy corn. I mean, nobody likes candy corn except for Tamlin. I think Tamlin is actually one of the few people who likes candy corn.
I will give all of my candy corn share to Tamlin.
I I will tolerate the candy corn because anything is better than circus peanuts. Circus peanuts are just pure trash. They're terrible.
I think it's because for me, candy corn tastes slightly bitter.
Really?
And yes, I know, Going Ape, you're not supposed to chew on them. I know. I don't chew on them. I still like suck on them like you're supposed to.
Yeah.
But they taste slightly bitter to me.
Interesting.
Almost like butterscotch, which I'm not a big fan of butterscotch either for that same reason. Hmm. It's slightly bitter to me, and that's why I don't like them.
I wonder if it's one of the chemicals that your taste buds are like,
probably.
It comes off as a bitter taste because it's not supposed to be bitter.
Yes, probably. Because they're completely sugar and shouldn't
be
bitter.
It's just sugar.
It has a bitter aftertaste for me.
Interesting. I never would have guessed. For those who are wondering, every year they usually do like a census of like which is the worst Halloween candy, and every year it's always circus peanuts followed by candy corn. Which is why I picked those two. All right, so would you rather go to a real haunted house or watch a horror movie marathon?
Haunted house, because I'd get it over with quicker. I'll go through the haunted house in like a half an hour. The marathon would last far longer than that. Get it done and over with, just like vaccines. Yeah.
I would do the movie marathon, but I like horror movies, so that's fine.
Yeah, I know, Tamlin. I would rather go with neither, but she's not going to let me
that's
go neither.
Option.
I have to pick one. Yeah, I have to pick one. So I just get it done and over with out of my system faster. Rip the Band-Aid off.
Well, in that case, okay. So would you rather go ghost hunting or play on a paranormal board? I can't say the name of this board because it is actually trademarked and they do flag people for this, which is dumb. It's the one that you use to summon spirits, that board.
I mean, I'm kind of ambivalent toward both. I mean, it's not a hard, like, I don't want to do either one like the previous questions have been. It's more like, I don't really care enough either way about either one of them. So I guess in that case, probably option number two, let's go with the paranormal board.
It could be fun, at least if you have a group of friends. You could all be silly about it.
Exactly, because at least that way it's more like a small group socialization.
Sure.
Because ghost hunting could take me out into the middle of the woods.
Sure.
And while I don't find that particularly scary, I also don't really enjoy being out with ticks and fleas at night.
Or, you know, to a potentially abandoned hospital or something like that.
Yeah.
That could be kind of spooky.
There's a bit more uncertainty with the environment I'd find myself in with ghost hunting. At least with a paranormal board, I know I'll be indoors sitting at a table with friends.
Yeah, I'm thinking that one too, though I do think it'd be kind of funny to do a ghost hunting trip just once because I've seen some of those tours and I think it would be a hoot to go with like 20 or 30 people just to experience it. And as they fake us out with the ghost sightings, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It'd be like an extended haunted house.
Yeah.
All right, so would you rather read the scariest book or watch the scariest movie?
Book. I am a reader. And I don't... 9 times out of 10, I don't like the movie remakes of books. Because they don't tend to be well done. Whereas, I don't think I have ever read a bad book in my life. Even if I don't necessarily like the content of the book, or I don't like the topic of the book. Like, you wouldn't catch me right now reading Edgar Allan Poe. But I will acknowledge that his books are very well written.
They are. They are very well written. Yes, absolutely. I love Edgar Allan Poe.
And so, you know, I don't like the content, but it's not bad content. So at least if I'm reading a book, then I'm getting, like, good prose. I'm being exposed to, this is how it should be done in an ideal world. I'd rather do that than watch the movie.
Even if it leads to a very overactive imagination and you conjuring up some very scary images?
I am less likely to do that with a book than I am with a movie.
Really?
With a book, I don't always visualize what I'm reading. I'll have a concept in my mind of what's going on, So if I were reading like Cask of Amontillado, I'll read and I'll know, okay, they're in a house, there's a brick wall, there's a barrel. But I don't necessarily see that in my mind as an image. Whereas the movie, the image would be directly in front of my eyes, making very sure it's plastered on my retinas, whether I like it or not. So at least with a book, I have a chance of setting my own narrative, which may be no image. And I'm okay with that.
And see, I'm the opposite, where it's like if I am reading a book, I tend to have more of an active imagination visualizing everything that's being fed to me. Whereas with the movie, it's there in front of me. There's nothing extra that I need to add to it.
Sure.
So for
Plus, I
me,
tend
the
to
book would be scarier than the movie.
speed read.
I do too.
So I would be done with the book faster than I would watch the movie. So again, rip the Band-Aid off. Get it out of the way as quickly as possible. Like for all of these, I want to answer neither, but you're not going to let me.
No,
So
you're
I'm just
not
going to
allowed to
get
say neither.
whichever gets it done and out of the way faster.
Either or, boop.
Exactly.
Well, if it's faster, then the movie would be well faster than the book.
I can read a book pretty fast,
Can
actually.
you read a book in an hour and a half if it's got 500 pages?
Maybe not a 500-page book. Well, maybe. If
We're
I
gonna do
had
this one podcast session. It's just gonna be Amber's gonna read a 500-page book. Let's see how long it takes her.
dedicated time, maybe. Kind of depends. Depends on like font size and how complicated the book is
I need to
and that sort
send
of thing.
you the worst book that I have ever read, and I need to see how long it takes you because it's almost 500 pages. I'm gonna be impressed if you get through it because it is so poorly written. And a terrible plot with an awful character.
If it's poorly written, I read it faster.
No, this is it's bad enough that you will stop and go, "What the hell did I just read?" I will send that to you. Right. Would you rather spend a night alone in a graveyard or in an abandoned
Nope.
hospital?
They're both terrible.
That's the point.
Abandoned hospital, at least I'm indoors. Plus, I have things with which I could defend myself. They're both the setting of terrible video games.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I enjoy spending time alone, but not in abandoned places like that. Not, I mean, if it was an abandoned forest, then okay, let's do it. But no, not horror places.
The whole point is being spooky.
I promise you, an abandoned forest can be plenty spooky.
Yeah, but a graveyard's spookier.
Yes, I know, that was my point. That's why I'm not spending my time there.
Gonna go with the hospital too because, again, it's indoors. You are correct. I hate
Yep.
being outside. All right, and then the last one for the Halloweeny stuff is, would you rather watch a horror movie or never watch a movie ever again?
Never watch a movie, never again.
Really? Any all movies of all time?
Any all movies of all time, because one, I've already seen all of the movies that I need to be able to see in my life,
Bull crap.
and two,
I
I
call
have books.
crap.
You did not prohibit me from reading books, and the
No.
books are the important part.
As a movie person, that really hurts. There are so many amazing things I'm sure you have not seen.
Yes, but you see, I'm still living my life perfectly happy without having ever seen them.
Amber wants to stay in her
Therefore,
bubble. Her content bubble, this is what she wants.
it's like, you've never seen Avatar: The Last Airbender. That's fine. I have manga.
So sad.
You've.
Of course, I would watch the horror movie. I would never give up my precious movies.
Live
Sad.
action Last Unicorn. Again, I have the book and there's a manga.
The book is not
Exactly.
always better.
Exactly, Tamlin. I would just read for the rest of my life, which is what I'm going to do anyway. The movies are just the cherry on top of the cake because 100% of the time I read the book, if one exists, before I see the movie. I don't ever do it in reverse. So if I've already read the book and the movie doesn't exist, that's fine. At least I've already had a chance to read the book.
Sometimes the movie is better.
I have actually never watched a movie that was better than the books.
Ready Player One, the movie is far superior to the book. That book is hot garbage. I don't even call it hot garbage. It is just shit. There's the first swear word. It is just pure shit. The other one that came to mind was The Shining, surprisingly. I think the movie is much better than the book because it is so completely different from the book. It deviates from the book 100%. It's a lot of creative liberty. Thank you, Stanley Kubrick.
In fact, in a lot of ways, usually the movies and or series that I see after the books, I consider worse than the books because they take artistic liberties with it. And I usually disagree with the direction of said artistic liberties that they take. Even though I understand why they do them, I don't agree with them the vast majority of the time. And that makes it so much worse for me. It destroys my immersion from the books.
Oh, Green Mile is a very good example too. The book is okay. The movie is far better.
I've never seen or read either one, so.
It's worth a watch and a read. I think it's good to have that comparison.
It's like I know of Ready Player One. I know of The Shining. I know of Green Mile, but I've just never seen or read any of those. So I can't judge.
Ready Player One is so bad. It's imagine the protagonist. Okay, so the protagonist of Ready Player One. Imagine him as that one con goer who acts like he knows everything and he needs to share that information with everyone, regardless of what they are doing. And so
I know someone like that.
He inserts himself into every conversation on the con floor to show that his superior knowledge of knowing nerdy things will get him far in life. That's the type of person that he is, and he is so unlikable. He is awful. Yeah, Shawshank is actually pretty good as a movie, too. I don't know. The book on that one is pretty good. I think the way that they handled the movie is really strong. So I think that one's a good where the two of them complement each other very well.
It was pretty well awarded, so I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Like, that was recognized.
And I think there's a way of doing like books and movies that kind of work well together. Like I think The Hunger Games is a fantastic example because the books, I've read all the books. The way that the author describes locations and places is a little vague. So it's kind of difficult to visualize. So when you get to see the movie and all the grand and the opulence of the capital and then how destitute all the sectors are, you're like, wow, if you read the books and then watch the movie and kind of in conjunction with each other, they do such a great job. They work really well together. It'd be nice to have more of that.
All right, so that's the end of the spoopy ones. Now Yes. On to the cosplay ones.
Onto the cosplay. Some of them might be spoopy ones.
I'm going to throw more controversy onto the fire, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, you'll love this one. This one is circa 2007. Would you rather be glomped or get hit by the Yowie paddle?
This is one of those ones where I want to say neither.
I would love to say neither either, but we can't do that.
Clarifying question.
Yes.
Would the person be doing this be known to me?
Ooh, let's go with a random stranger.
Glomped.
See, having been glomped, I don't know.
I mean, it's not because I want to be glomped more than the other. Because actually, glomping is a lot more likely to get me injured.
Exactly.
The problem is that the other could harm me professionally if seen in pictures with me. And because of the reputation hit that such a thing might cause, I have to say getting glomped.
See, when you put it that way, if it was being asked willingly one or the other, then probably glomped, even though I would hate every moment of it, because I've been glomped before and it hurt.
Yes.
If it was just a flyby whack with the Yowie paddle, I'd probably be more okay with that. But if I had to willingly choose one or the other, probably the glomping, even though I'm still... I remember it was in my Mercury costume, too. It was very painful. And very random. Ugh. We're doing good. All right, so would you rather tear apart a costume halfway through because it's terrible and you want to remake it, or use those
What?
mats to make something else entirely?
Or use what to make something else?
So tear apart the costume halfway through because it's terrible and then start remaking it, or use those materials to make something else.
So would that be using the materials for something else from the beginning? In other words, I bought them and then decided to change costumes?
No. So you tore apart the
Or would you?
costume.
Okay, so that you so no matter which path, you've torn it apart.
Yes.
So keep going or do something else? Doing something else might not actually even be possible depending on what the materials are.
Assume that you can. For the sake of the game, assume that you can.
Because, like, if I took apart, say, Lena Inverse, I could realistically only make another costume that's red and white because those are the colors of the materials that make the costume. And that could prove incredibly difficult if I didn't have anything on my plate that was red and white. So I'd probably have to say just redo it. Generally, when I pick my costumes, I'm picking something I wanted to make in the first place and was willing to spend the time, money, and resources on making it. So I wouldn't suddenly just pick up and make something else. That wouldn't even make sense in my mind because I had already set myself on the path, like, this is the costume I'm going to make. I don't generally change my mind.
Yeah, I usually don't either, but I have had those moments where I'm midway through a project and I hate all of it, so I take it all apart. But I get so despondent and discouraged by it that it's like, do I really want to start all over again? So I could see where it would be enticing to just take those materials, throw them into a different project and work on something else. And I have done that before. And that's come out way more satisfactory than the piece that I'm trying to remake into something this not mess.
Yeah, like Tamlin, I usually just walk away from it for a time. I will note, though, for those that I know are screaming at me through their podcast device of choice, why wouldn't you just make something else with it? Whenever a costume stops fitting me, or if I've kind of outgrown the character or basically just changed my preference, I do take those costumes apart and I do use them for other costumes.
Amber salvages every single
I
one of her
salvage everything.
costumes.
I will, if something was glued on, I will rip it off so
She
that I
will.
can reuse it.
She will.
So if I have glued zippers down, I reconstitute the zipper. I will literally pull everything that can be reused, including scraps of fabric, as long as they are large enough for me to do something with, including make kintsashi with them. As long as the scrap is larger than like 2 inches by 2 inches, I keep everything.
And she's very good about that.
And I'm also very good at reusing them too. I don't waste anything if I can help it. Mostly because I hate waste. I don't like throwing things away. I don't like adding to the landfill if I don't have to. And generally, I'm a little leery about reselling costumes rather than tearing them apart, if only because my costumes are custom made to fit me and I have weird body proportions, so it's highly unlikely I could sell it to somebody else and have it fit them. So it's better for me to just tear them apart and reuse the fabrics, even if it's just quilting them into a lining for something else. I'd rather do that.
Totally understand. All righty.
Next.
This one's kind of a scary one. I don't like this one. Would you rather have all your costumes destroyed or never make a new costume ever again?
There are pros and cons to both.
Exactly. It's like,
Because,
oh.
see, if I have everything destroyed, then I can just make nicer, newer versions of all of what I had.
That's my thought process
But
too.
if I could never make another one again, I'm actually happy with the costume set that I have right now. So I could survive. I think I would rather have them all destroyed, honestly, because I would rather have the opportunity to make newer, nicer sets with my upgraded knowledge and skills that I have now from when I made them. But also, too, if they were all destroyed, they wouldn't go in the landfill, so I wouldn't have to feel guilty about them.
There's Amber and her sustainability.
Yes. If all of my stuff was suddenly lost in a fire, At least I know that it burned up and became ash and did not go in the landfill.
That one is a hard one for me because I can see the pros, again, I can see the pros and cons with both of them. It's knowing that what I have in there, I have the potential to remake them better. At the same time, I have some really awesome pieces in there that I know I can't do better because they're fairly recent and they really showcase my skill on such a level that I'm like, ooh, can I make that better? I don't know if I can, but two, do I really want to spend another year and a half making one of those? And like, oh, I don't know if I have it in me to do that. At the same time, to never have to make a new costume again, so much of my creative outlook is in costuming and making accessories and all of those things. Where do I do with that creative energy? I have to put it somewhere else. And I think I would struggle for a long time figuring out what that avenue is.
The question said you could never make another costume again. You could still make
You
accessories.
could still make accessories. I guess for
And you could
me,
make pieces of a costume.
I
You just
would.
couldn't make the whole thing.
See, I think that's cheating the system. You're always looking for those loopholes. I would think of it as cosplay as a whole. I think that counts armor, boots, wigs, the whole shebang. I figure cosplay is no go. Spoop holes. Thanks, Going Ape. You found a spoop hole.
I'm a very logical person, but also I am a crafter. If for some reason I couldn't ever make costumes again, I can ply my sewing skills into other things, like cross stitch, like embroidery. I can use my casting skills to make ornaments. I can take all of the skills that I use in cosplay and just take them over into the crafting world.
I should add the caveat of, and you can never make any cosplay again, and you can't use any of your knowledge for anywhere else.
You're going to have to start caveating these things to hell and
Lots of
back if you want to
asterisks
stop
and
me.
like exclamation points.
I would be an excellent person to offer three wishes to because I would be all over that system and making sure I cover all of my loopholes and spoof holes.
Going Ape, I'm sorry we're making you sad. I know it was a very evil question. I was like, oh, that's a scary one. I guess I would go for having them destroyed, but that just sounds terrible. Like, that makes
Well,
me.
of course, they're both terrible options.
They're
So is
both
spending time in an
awful.
abandoned graveyard and an abandoned hospital, but you made me choose one.
Yep. So I guess we're destroying those costumes. I'm sorry, babies. I still love you. Forbidden knowledge. All
It's only
right.
forbidden if somebody forbids it.
There you go. Would you rather carry around a large prop all day that you can't put down,
Done. Already been there, done that.
or wear large, heavy wings?
Also been there, done that. In this case, large heavy wings. And the
I'm thinking
reason
that
is
too.
because they're a backpack.
That's why I'm thinking it distributes the weight a little bit more evenly, so I could probably sit and chill with it. I mean, yeah, it would suck to wear them for 8 freaking hours, but by comparison to a prop is getting shifted around so much, and it's probably going to be like one-handed or some monstrosity that requires both hands. I imagine that weighing me down more faster than the heavy wings.
I mean, honestly, all of my weapon props are usually large. They're usually staffs that are 6 feet tall, so taller than me. So I'm very accustomed to carrying large, long props for long periods of time at a con, like 6 hours without being able to put them down. And I've done a UA cosplay, so I have done the whole 6 to 8 foot wingspan wearing the backpack. In fact, it was worse because the UA wings are on a plywood base. They're not on an aluminum base. Those things are heavy. And oh my God, did my shoulders hurt at the end of the day.
Oh, I'm
And I
sure.
wore them in competition.
I remember.
But yeah, backpacking it is so much easier than having to carry something.
Agreed. It's backpack all the way. I have very weak arms. I can't do prop very long. Large costume's cool. Okay. Would you rather buy the most accurate materials for your cosplay that are super crazy exorbitant prices, and that's all you can afford,
We already know the answer to this, I
or
think.
buy the cheapest material, but it's shiny, clingy, scratchy fabric, but allows you to spend more on the rest of your cosplay?
Clarification. Is it within my budget to do the expensive?
Yes.
So assume I have enough money for both?
You have enough money to either buy the really fucking expensive fabric, hey, next square word, or the cheapy fabric, but you can also buy the other stuff too.
Right. Just I wanted to make sure it wasn't like going to bankrupt me to where I had to like not have food for a week
Right,
anymore.
no, not like that. It's within your
Okay.
budget.
Okay. That's what I wanted to make sure of. I never like buying the uber expensive stuff.
Whereas I do, so this is easy for me.
I think we're going to be on opposite ends of the spectrum this time. I would go the cheap route because then I can buy things to mitigate the itchiness, the shininess. I can take care of that. I can fudge that.
I can't fudge my fabric. I need the nicest stuff possible. And it need if it's accurate and it's very pricey, that's fine. At least it's accurate. 'Cause dang that accuracy. Foiled me.
I spent way too many years as a struggling college student having to just make the cheap materials work.
Oh,
So
I've done that too. Like
I'm very used to that.
2007 to like 2015, it was like whatever I could make work, make it work. And there was a whole lot of really cheap cotton involved. Good gravy. I never once used the costume satin because there are certain areas you know not to go to.
Gary, that wasn't quite what I had in mind. I wasn't going quite that route. I had actually been thinking of buying like a lining fabric that I could put underneath it that was not quite as itchy because
Help.
there was never a stipulation that I had only the cheap fabrics to use. So I could buy other fabrics to mitigate and put underneath so it doesn't, cause me a rash or anything like that. And I can buy other fabrics to put over the uber shiniest bits so that I can mitigate that part too. They'll all be included in the costume, but I can work with it a lot better. And I would feel a lot better, I think, doing it that way than buying the $100 yard fabric.
Give me the $100 yard fabric.
Especially because if I think about it, so I'm getting the uber expensive components, right? I'm getting the really nice, sorry, I have stray hairs that keep blowing in my face from the fan that's next to me because it's so freaking hot. And I'm eating the hair because it keeps blowing in
It
my
keeps blowing
mouth.
your mouth, yeah.
And it does not taste good. This is not Halloween candy. Anyways, if I'm buying, $100, $200 a yard organic silk fabric and getting the nicest cast gems and I'm getting human hair wigs and I'm getting all of like the most expensive, most accurate parts. I have to have that shipped to me because chances are good I'm not going to suddenly be able to walk into my local retailer and just pick it up there in person. That means I have to worry about it being stolen off of my doorstep because everybody has had packages stolen from their doorstep because some goof comes up and sees, oh, random package on someone's doorstep. They haven't picked it up yet. Guess that means they don't want it. Mine, yoink. And then I have to worry about getting those expensive components again. This is why I don't like having expensive things shipped to me, period. Not just cosplay supplies, anything. Electronics, if I get any sort of nice accessories, anything I order that might possibly be expensive, I don't like having shipped to me for that reason. And I would have the exact same concern here.
You can rent out a locker with the post office or UPS or FedEx and
Yes, which
have it
costs
sent
even more
there.
money. And then I also have to go pick it up during open hours that the post office is open.
They're a little bit more lenient about those open hours.
Found it.
Yay! Whereas I am
Finally
just
found the one
like,
that was in my
I will spend as much money as possible on the really nice fabric because I know at the end of the day, it's not only going to look accurate, it's going to last a lot longer too than that cheap stuff.
I can make the cheap stuff last a long time, just like I've made my IKEA furniture last a long time. They're
Can
like, you're
only
not
go
supposed
so
to take it
far.
up. You're not supposed to take it apart. I totally take it apart and move with it. Heck yeah, all my stuff is older than a decade. And yes, scary. I know that there is another word for goof, but I am self-censoring.
We're self-censoring on the episode where we don't need to
I know.
self-censor.
I know this is the after dark, but I don't really want to say what I would call those people.
It's Okay, next one. Got two more to go.
Okay.
So this one, you are at a convention. You're an at
Okay.
an anime convention.
Okay, anime convention. All right.
All right, so would you rather be the only one without a costume or the only one in costume?
I've actually, like, when I first started, I've been one of those that didn't have a costume in a sea of people that did.
Yeah, same.
And I've done the Ren Faire thing where you're like the only person in an elaborate costume and nobody else is, because everybody else is in plain clothes.
Yeah, everybody else is a normie.
I think of the two, I'd want to be the only one not in costume. And the reason for that is actually incredibly straightforward. I am an introvert. I do not like standing out, and I do not like mass amounts of attention pointed in my direction. So if I'm the only one without a costume in a sea of costumes, I'm a lot less likely to be noticeable than if I was the only one in costume. And especially if I'm at an anime convention, I'm going to be dressed very anime, very comically, in a sea of people that aren't, and then everyone's going to pay attention to me, including the press. And I don't like that notion. I would rather be like the person who just kind of sits back in a corner and does the people watching thing in plain clothes. Plus, I'll be more comfortable that way. Because if I'm at an anime convention, chances are very good I'm in armor. And that's not the most
You
comfortable way.
weirdo.
You said anime
I
convention.
did.
So I'm more likely to be dressed in an uncomfortable costume, which would make me very irritable after a certain period of time. So I may as well be comfortable while I'm gonna do it.
And see, for me, because there was no caveats to any of this, if I could wear the fanciest costume, the one that I love the most, then I would be the one in costume, knowing that I would get all that attention. Because my fanciest costumes are the ones that people have no fracking clue what they are. They're just like, ooh, person in cosplay. So I know I would get attention because I so rarely get attention for those.
See, I don't really care about the caveat about the fanciness of the costume. It doesn't matter which one of my costumes I wear. Even if I wore my fanciest Ren Faire outfit, I don't want the attention.
I enjoy the brief attention, knowing that people are recognizing the skill that went into the piece. So I appreciate that. And then I would go crash for an hour, like, I need to recharge.
Yep.
Right, last one. This is a goofy one. So this is while you're in cosplay. So would you rather do para-para for an hour or a round of DDR in costume?
How advanced is the para-para?
We'll do mid-core. That's why I said an hour, because you can go pretty light-handed or pretty heavy. Whereas DDR, you can get it done in like 3.5 to 5 minutes, depending on the song. But it's very intense.
So there's no time caveat on the DDR. So it could be as short as 5 minutes, where para-para has to be an hour.
Exactly. So para, because para-para, I mean, you even the mid-core para-para is pretty easy to go through. It's just having to do that motion for an hour can be pretty taxing. Whereas with DDR, it's intense for 5 minutes.
I mean, that kind of takes any sort of decision out of it. It has to be DDR.
Even though it's intense and could potentially destroy your costume.
Destroy my costume or destroy my body after doing para-para for an hour? Take your pick. Then I won't want to wear the costume after an hour. So it doesn't really matter. Besides, you didn't put any caveats on which costume I'd be wearing.
True. I mean, it could be any costume. It's just knowing that you're in cosplay and knowing your costumes, there's the potential for some
Yeah, but
failures.
DDR is legs alone. Most
Oh,
of my
we can get
costumes,
really
I
into it. You can get your arms moving too.
most of my costumes don't have armor on the legs, with the exception of Pyrrha. And most of my costumes don't have heels. So DDR would actually be easier on my costumes than para-para would be,
We need
because most of my
jars.
armor is up on the shoulders. So I would rather do DDR. That would actually be better on me, my body, and my costume.
I figured you would have went for para-para because that's very easy movements.
It can be, and that's why I asked about the difficulty. If it was easy para-para and I didn't have to worry about raising my arms up, I might have chosen para-para. But if you said moderate difficulty, And it's like, that includes some pretty large arm movements. Nope.
I would choose DDR only because I like DDR, so that's an easy one for me, regardless of what I'm wearing. Even, yes, they probably would do something or snag my costume. That's fine.
Agree, Tamlin. Doesn't mean I'm good at doing the DDR. I can still fail the song, which I probably will. Actually, I do very poorly at pretty much all dance games, which includes the ones that are done with the arms instead of with the legs. Like Autica, which is done in VR using the arms instead of using the legs. I'm terrible at all of them. And it's not because I have no sense of rhythm. I actually have a very good sense of rhythm. It's that I have a very hard time coordinating my body with what I'm hearing fast enough. Because I'll hear it and I can dance with a song. But if you want me to have to only hit these boxes with my left hand and these circles with my right in sequence with the song, that's where I get completely messed up. Because I can't coordinate my body fast enough. It's like with DDR, which, what was it? I think it was all Awesome Games Done Quick. It wasn't Summer Games Done Quick. They actually did a DDR showcase with one of the top DDR players in the world.
Ooh, I bet that was cool.
This guy was insane. But not only was he insane at doing existing content, they wrote new songs for him and had him sight read it.
Oh, that's
He had
great.
never seen it before. And these are songs that even some of the best players couldn't play if they'd practiced it. He was doing it on sight and getting 96% plus on these insane level songs.
That's cool.
And it's like, if you showed me the music, because it'll show you the game screen as well, so you can see what he is seeing. I can't sight read the arrows that fast. If it was sheet music, okay, I can sight read sheet music. I can't sight read directional arrows at all. And all of the games that are played, even the ones you do on your keyboard or on your phone, they all use the directional
Yeah.
arrows. It's just like, no, I had a hard enough time playing Guitar Hero when it came out. Because
Oh,
it used the colored
I was a
buttons.
beast at Guitar Hero. Put me on bass, I'm ready.
And it was like, okay, I can play the guitar if it's slow enough, but I can't sight read your little circles, your little colored circles fast enough. Nope. I was a drummer.
I
I played
love
the
rhythm
drums.
games. Oh my goodness.
Oh, actually, that's a great question, Sakura. We should take that one.
Yeah, so here we go. Would you rather attend all the cons in one go or just one your whole career?
So, just one would be one con over and over again, or one just once, and then no more cons ever again. So, for example, if I said, okay, I only want to attend Project Akon, does that mean I could just go to Project Akon every year for the rest of my career and only Project Akon? Or does that mean, okay, I get to go to Project Akon next year and then stop and you get no more cons ever again?
That's how I interpreted it, was the latter.
I need a little clarification before I can really make that choice, because it actually really does change like how I would think about it. And also, I'm not sure if all cons means every convention I would ever want to go to, and do I have to pay for them? Because I think it would bankrupt me to have to pay for all
There was one year, I think this was 2016, I went to a convention every weekend, 4 weekends in a row, and this was around Memorial Day weekend, so that one was a 4-day event. I was so tired afterwards. I don't know how I survived Akon, because Akon, I think, was the last one on that list. I was so tired. I was like, I'm never doing this again, and I was young
It's
and
brutal.
foolish.
It's really brutal on
It's
your body.
hard. I would just take the one and done. Oh, and that was when I was still had a good digestive system too. I was healthy. I can't do that again.
Because I'm kind of inclined to go with just one for your whole career. I would be very sad if it was just the go once and then stop and you never get any more for the rest of your career versus being able to go to that one con each year.
Oh, just the one on repeat, apparently. So on repeat. Right.
I would rather go the one on repeat then.
Yeah, same.
Because I know, again, I am an introvert. I'm a very heavy introvert. If you ever meet me in person, if I'm very shy, it's not you. I'm just that heavy of an introvert.
It's not you. It's Amber.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that I could attend all the cons in one go and live and come out sane.
It's just that the thought of the exhaustion, I just like, man, I'm old. I can't do that type of conning anymore. So one on repeat every year, I would be okie dokie with that.
Yeah, my social battery depletes very quickly. And if I had to do multiple cons back to back, I would just go and never talk to another living human being again because I wouldn't have any social battery left to talk to anybody.
It would just be like, oh, no.
I'd be just like, leave me alone. Seriously, it's not you, it's me. Leave me the hell alone.
At some point, my soul would just leave my body. I'd become a literal ghost at that point. Because that is a lot. Yeah, I just remember that one year where I did four of them back to back. And oh my God, never again. Never, ever, ever again. You could not pay me enough. It is just too tiring.
Now, granted, I would have to think long and hard about which
one
convention that would be.
Yeah, that's a good question. Which one would it be? Because that's a toughie.
Right.
Ooh. Oh, where do we go with that one? Because I don't think I would pick an anime con. I think I would pick something either gaming or kind of along the lines of Dragon Con. But Dragon Con is too big.
I would pick PAX.
East or West or Australia? Yeah, three options.
Not Australia.
Okay. Oh, and Unplugged.
It would not be Unplugged either. It would be either East or West, but I don't really know enough about the difference between the two to really be able to choose between them. I think I'd probably have to like have attended each one once to get the vibe, and then I could tell you. But I've never been to either one, so I don't know.
So I would say that both of them are very similar content-wise. It's just you get the winter developers with East, and then you get the summer and fall developers in West. So you kind of know what's coming up for the Christmas season. I think the West one is honestly a bit more relaxing and chill. It doesn't feel as overwhelming, even though it's a lot of space and it's very spread out, especially since it's 4 days, since it goes over the Labor Day weekend. That one feels a little bit more relaxing. The weather is nicer. Washington's always a really great place to visit. It's better on the body. Not as much walking either.
I'd probably stick with that one then.
East, you have to kind of grapple with the potential snowstorm. Because it takes place like
that
February,
could be a problem.
March. I did like the vibes of East. I like how East Coast is a little bit more about the people. East Coast, it's very easy to chat up with others just randomly.
Yeah, I definitely need West then.
Yeah, you get more line buddies at East. So West tends to be a little bit more easygoing. But I kind of like the line buddies at East.
Yeah, I would definitely want West if I have to interact with more people in East. So there you go. I would attend PAX West for the rest of my life.
There you go. I might say the same, but I don't know. I have to really sit and think about that one because I miss the vibes of Dragon Con, but I don't ever want to go back because it is way too big. Way too big. You people.
See, I'm also thinking of, I'm also thinking about the longevity of the con and how long it will survive as a con. Because if I chose another con that may not be the most stable financially or may seem to be constantly outgrowing where it is currently, or that it's losing sponsors, or it doesn't have the ability to gather voice actors every year. Like, PAX seems very well entrenched. And even if the two guys at Penny Arcade retired, I have a sneaking suspicion that con will just keep going.
Oh, it's owned by Reed Pop. So, I mean, even if the guys ever stopped making their comics and just left everything behind, it would keep going without them.
Sure.
Yeah, they're a corporate entity now.
So at least that con would be around long enough for me to attend it for the rest of my life.
Rip PAX
I don't have
out.
To worry about it going. Yes. Well, that's why I knew it would be between East and West, because they've been around longest.
They have been.
I was looking at longevity.
Yeah. I don't know how long. I know Australia has been quite a while and they're still putting that one on. I don't know how long Unplugged has been around. It was definitely longer than South. South, they just didn't know what the heck they were doing with
Right.
it and the timing was terrible.
Right.
Good
I think
location,
the
terrible
timing was a
timing.
lot of it.
Especially
Yeah.
when they didn't know what they were doing with it, that the local. I mean, we have a lot of Texas game developers and they weren't showing up. Like, that says
Right.
a lot.
That was part of the problem, is they couldn't get the guests in. Vendors too.
It was always pretty sparse. The last year I was there, it was the year before they stopped it, before they officially canceled it. It was pretty sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Chat says, ew, people.
Ew, people, I responded. Not people. We don't want to be near people. People of cooties.
I need the convention for introverts, please.
There's gotta be one. There's cat
I'm
conventions.
sure
There's
it is.
gotta be a convention for introverts.
Of course.
Hang on,
I expect this.
Google time, hold up. Hold, please.
Google, please tell me which convention is for introverts? Answer, HomeCon, where everyone stays home. Although I will admit, HomeCon, best con. Yes, Tamlin and I had the same thought. Great minds think alike.
Well, so far I'm not finding one other than guides for introverts. An introvert's guide to surviving a crowded, noisy Comic-Con. No, thank you. I just won't go.
I have a sneaking suspicion that if you had a conference for introverts, the introverts would just not go. Because we're
Because
introverts.
we're introverts, therefore we're not going to show up. I'm like, no, we'll just stay at home. Can I
Exactly.
stream
Home
it?
con.
Can I just stream it?
Do you have a virtual option, please? Okay,
I will pay
thanks.
ticket for it.
But great question. I like it.
That's a good one. Thank you, Sakura. Appreciate it. Does anyone have any randos that you can throw at us? By the way, I realized halfway through that I didn't bring my black spooky water bottle down here. Hindsight. Coeing ape. Oh, goodness. I guess you could say TwitchCon is kind of a home con because can you watch some of it online? I'm assuming you can't. Are they even doing a cosplay track this year? It seems like that got left aside.
You used to be able to watch part of it online.
Yeah, I'm guessing probably not. They might be going the route of VidCon and just keeping it exclusive.
I was thinking they might do it like PAX, where only certain theaters or
Our
stages are
stages are
shown,
shown, yeah.
and the rest of it is exclusive in person.
I could see that.
Yeah, which I actually don't
That's fine.
mind. I don't mind PAX doing it that way, because I get some parts of it need to incentivize people to buy tickets.
Sure.
But at the same time, I am really glad that they're able to share like main stage with the people that can't go, because they do have a cap on tickets.
Yeah.
Only a certain number of people can go.
Thank God.
So I am very glad that that's still an option.
Because they do get big developers there with that do announce very huge things, and so they
Oh, yeah.
would rather it get broadcasted to a larger audience and have it be a special moment for the people who are there. So that's nice.
Plus, they're pretty good about inclusivity, making
Yeah.
sure that everybody has access to be able to watch that wants to.
Yeah. All right, but Chad, do you have any more for that you want to throw at us? Otherwise, that's it for our game. We're done.
I have one for you.
Oh, shoot, go.
I want to see what you say about this one.
Do
And
it.
this is actually kind of similar to Sakura's, but for cosplay.
Okay.
Would you rather wear only one of your cosplays ever again, or would you rather wear each of your cosplays once? So, in other words, you could pick one cosplay, and that's the only cosplay that you can wear, but you can wear it over and over and over again. Or you get access to your whole collection, but you only get to wear each one once before you have to put it away for good.
The funny thing is, I used to be, for the longest time, that cosplayer who would only wear their costume once and then never again. And it wasn't because I didn't want to wear it again. I was just constantly inspired to keep making new things. So at one point, I'm sure my closet had probably 40 or 50 costumes in it. And I have since gotten rid of the bulk of that. So I only have a handful of them now. And I'm like, these are the pieces I really love and I'll wear them multiple times. So that's funny. I used to be that person, but it's not because, oh, I have to make a new one because I'm going to a con. It was just, I was motivated to keep making. I think in my old age now, in my elderly cosplayer years, I would probably stick to the one costume because it's something that I know if I make it and I put a whole lot of time and love and energy into it and I truly, genuinely enjoy wearing it, I would wear it again and again and again. And I would just wear it until I wear it out. And I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, there are no caveats on quality, so you could have an uber high quality
Yeah.
one costume that you wear over and over again.
Exactly. And that would be the one that I would treasure and make sure that I would wear it as much as I
I
possibly
would
could.
choose the same. I would have one that I would wear over and over again. Just because there's usually that one cosplay you get known for, and it's
Yeah.
because it's the character you love the
It's the
most,
one you love the most.
or at least the one you associate with the most.
I just know that at my time and at my age, just having the ability to have to make a new costume again and again and again and again, it just gets tiring, you know? Especially if I were to go to like five cons a year, that's exhausting. At that point, I'd just be like, can I plain clothes this? Can I just casual cosplay? Can that count?
That counts. That counts as a cosplay.
Yeah.
Sakura has a second
I saw
question.
that.
I think this one is pointed at me.
This one's a you. Would you rather have just hot glue for all your builds or random tools? Hot glue for the
Now,
win.
does this assume that it's only hot glue? In other words, I have no other tools
Just
except the
hot.
hot glue gun and the hot glue.
It
So I have
says
no scissors. I have no cutting tools. I have no rulers. I have nothing but just the hot glue, or I get random tools that may or may not include adhesive at all.
I think you're taking it a little. I'm sure you can do scissors. I'm sure you got a ruler, but to stick everything together, it's hot glue versus like barge and tacky glue and all the other
Because
adhesives and magnets.
I'm kind of with going ape. I would go with random tools.
Hot I
I
love
mean,
hot glue.
as much as I am a fan of hot glue, unless it's with fabric, otherwise, no.
Oh man, then we got to talk.
But like, I love hot glue, and I have multiple hot glue guns for many different purposes, and I have both low temp and high temp hot glue. But I also know how brittle it is, and it just does not work well as an adhesive for most applications if you're looking for a good quality long-term bond. That stuff will come apart on you when you don't need it to. I have learned this from experience many times over. I would sincerely rather have random adhesives at my selection. Because those, at least I know how they'll behave. I know how wood glue behaves. I know how E6000 behaves. I know how barge behaves. I know how to use those. Hot glue is hit and miss. It's very finicky, depending on which kind of hot glue you have, what materials you're putting together, and what environment in which you are bonding them. Oh, God.
Tamlin, my eyes. I can't.
I'm sorry, I did not mean to be blasphemous.
That was nothing. I swore twice, so you know. As much as I
I
love the
would
hot glue,
hand sew everything.
yeah, hand sew everything. So Tamlin's question is, hot glue, would you rather hot glue for putting all your fabric cosplays together or have to hand sew everything? I would hand sew 1,000%, screw that. Now, I think if you change that to have a time limit, then that might be a trick. That might be a question.
I'd still hand sew.
I would still totally hand sew and probably not get it done in time.
Because I already hand sew a good chunk of the cosplays that I make anyway. I only use a machine stitch for the final stitch, but I hand sew everything else.
I would never hot glue fabric
And I
ever.
know from experience what happens when you hot glue fabric together. And yes, I have recycled those components too and torn the two fabric pieces apart through the hot glue. I know what that takes.
Oh, that hurts. I don't want to know what pieces of your costume are for that. That hurts.
That was when I very first started, and then I had to make repairs whenever something broke because I hadn't really learned how to sew very well yet. So I'd have to make emergency repairs, and that usually involved hot glue. So when the costume was done, I had to take the pieces of fabric and... Because you can't sew through hot glue.
No.
So if you use hot glue for an emergency repair, this is my PSA for the day. If you glue two things together, do not sew through them afterward because you will dull and or break your needle because your needle has to then punch through not only the fabric, but the adhesive. And needles are not designed to punch through adhesive. This is why whenever you use products like Heat and Bond or Peel and Stick, it tells you on the package, do not stitch through this. And it's because it will gum up and or break your needle.
Unless it is the purple package for Heat and Bond, because that is specifically made for embroidery and applique.
Sure. If it tells you that on the package, then that's okay. But most of the time on the package, it will tell you, do not sew through this.
Because it's a strong adhesive.
Right. Please obey the package.
You'll be they're thankful not doing, for it.
They're not doing that to inconvenience you.
There was so, somebody, funny enough.
The same.
Yeah, it's somebody that I was teaching how to sew would only use Heat and Bond and a bunch of other stuff. So I went to their sewing machine for the first time just to kind of get familiarized with what machine that they had. Their needle was so gunked up because they were sewing through like duct tape.
Ooh.
I was like, one, how are you able to do that? Two, your machine. So I spent a good 30 minutes cleaning that machine out and getting fresh needles in and explaining the importance of never sewing through any type of adhesives. Oh, Lord.
Duct tape is actually one of the worst adhesives you can sew through.
Yes.
And
even though it has a layer of fabric.
That doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
The other thing is that it will dull your needle.
Absolutely. Or completely destroy it.
So even if it doesn't break it outright by cracking it in half, it will dull it very, very quickly, in which case it's not going to be as useful for you when you're sewing regular fabric that does not have duct tape, because your needle just won't be sharp anymore. Yeah, so, no.
This is from Going Ape Costume. No. I knew someone that lubricated sewing over vinyl with baby powder. What a mess. I mean, it's a way to do it. It's not the cleanest way. That's a way. Wow.
Like, one, baby powder is not a lubricant.
No.
It's a desiccant. Anyways, setting that aside... I can understand MacGyvering things whenever you don't have the proper supply at hand.
Oh yeah, I do that with freezer paper all the time. If I need something to as a temporary stabilizer, freezer paper is a great solution. Like, done, good.
Sure. The only problem with baby powder, aside from the fact that it's not something you want to be inhaling with your head right next to your sewing machine.
Right.
The problem is that people can be allergic to it. And you don't want that in and around your costume if you're going into an area where people may be allergic to it. And this is why we tell people not to wear Axe body spray. Or any sort of heavily scented spray. And don't spray it on other people either. And the reason we say all of those things is because there are a lot of people that are allergic and you can actually provoke asthma in them. And baby powder can be the same way. So, would not recommend. 1 of 10. Do not do.
Oh, that poor machine, though.
Yes, Sakura. Industrial sticky Velcro is another thing. Do not sew through it, please.
It will break your needles.
Yeah, that is meant to just be literally stuck onto the fabric, peel off the backing, and you just slap it onto the fabric. Do not sew through it. You don't need to. And if it still comes off after that, then you need better adhesive. Don't use your needle.
Then your needle ain't gonna work.
Yeah, then you need to start going after like Heat and Bond to go and bond the Velcro to it.
Baby Tam might have done that. Ayo. We all learn. I mean, we're baby cosplayers. We learn. We make mistakes. That's how we grow.
Exactly. I mean, this is how I learned that hot glue does not belong with fabric. When I was baby cosplayer, I hot glued things together that shouldn't have been hot glued together. But I didn't know that at the time. Everybody learns.
Oh, hot glue. That's the one thing. I love hot glue, but I cringe knowing that when it touches fabric. And that's the thing, people. It depends on the fabrics, because some fabrics, it will literally melt the fibers together. It will no longer be the same material. I'm that way, too, when it comes to acrylics, paints. If you put that stuff on fabric, I cringe. Just don't do it. Please don't do it. There is fabric paint for the same price out there. Please get the fabric paint.
Also, hilariously, if you use acrylic paint on fabric without using fabric medium, in other words, if you just use straight acrylic paint out of the bottle and you paint on it and then you go to wash the fabric, it washes it out. All of your hard work is literally going to go down the drain.
Or it gets
in
really
the
streaky
machine,
or it looks really nasty.
And
peels.
It'll streak or it will fade as it's washing the paint out of the fabric, because the fabric medium has a special chemical in it that will bond the paint to the fibers in the fabric. If you don't have that bond, water is just going to wash it off and it's going to ruin all of the hard work that you just did.
And
you won't be happy.
I need to make an overview of why you shouldn't use the fabric paint medium on cosplays, only because, unfortunately, with the heaviness of acrylic paint, that fabric medium, all it does is just adheres it to the fabric. It doesn't make it lightweight. So it just makes everything so heavy and bulky. You lose a lot of the flow and the give that a fabric would have. So you're just better off, just get the fabric paint. Spend 2 cents more to get the fabric paint. You will be so much happier in the long run.
And it's better to get a good quality one too. Yes. Don't cheap out. You'll like the results more.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I should do like a small overview with the fabric medium, paint medium, showing like, here's why you don't want to do it.
Yeah, good questions.
Yeah, I like those. Those were fun. Some of them were spoopy.
Some of them were terrifying in different ways.
Absolutely. Because it's Halloween-y. Whee!
I was thinking of the cosplay in a fire one, actually.
Oh my gosh. Well, I've got nothing else. Do you have anything else, Amber?
Nope. Just to remind folks that, again, this is the last episode of this season of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. We will be back in 2 months. Now, you may see us periodically release some small short-form content between now and January. That doesn't necessarily mean we're coming back with full episodes again. We just periodically release things to keep our feeds fresh. So don't worry. We will be back with a full brand new show in January.
Yay!
Of course, if you all have topic ideas, if you have any tutorials you'd like us to cover, if you have any products you'd like us to review, if you have any guests that you would like us to interview, please, please, please send them to us, because it does always take us a little bit of time to prep for those. We have to contact people. We have to purchase things to get it ready for you. So please send them our way. Of course, you can do that via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For all the viewers, information is located over there underneath Amber, per usual. For those who are listening, you can visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube at CosPodcast, and on Blue Sky as CosPod.
You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, along with Nick Cage memes.
Yay, I got to get some Renfield ones specifically for this month.
And I would like to remind folks that even though we are on hiatus, you can still talk with us on social media and on email. You don't have to worry about, you know, the boxes being unmonitored for the next 2 months. We'll still be around. We're just not going to be recording full shows. So you can still email us. You can still talk to us on Facebook, on Insta, on all those places. We will respond to you.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we would also love it if you would keep sending us progress pics. Show us what you're working on. We love to see what you all are working on at the time, especially now that we're getting into the holiday season. So please keep those pics coming. Otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there. Keep working on all of those wonderful, amazing cosplays so that we can all see your smiling, shiny faces at a convention local to us ASAP. Otherwise, we will see you all in episode 288 in January. Please have a happy, fun, safe holiday. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Have the happiest of holidays, everyone. Good night.